there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Word to your mother.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Moms, we should have worked on it.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, hey, welcome to Cool Moms.
I'm Steve Byrne.
I'm Joe Gatto.
Yeah, there we go.
We wish you a merry two cool moms.
We wish you a merry two cool moms. We wish you a merry two cool moms. And a happy Steve Byrne.
Cha-cha-cha.
Merry Christmas, pal.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, yes.
And may I say Merry Christmas to everybody out there as well. And happy holidays.
Happy
and
holidays, whatever you celebrate.
You got to say the Hanukkahs. Happy Hanukkahs.
Happy the Hanukkahs to you. The Hanukkahs, we click this year. We match up.
What do you mean?
The Christmases and the Hanukkahs were just like one day off. Like the last day of Hanukkah is the 26th, I think. So they were all just, they're all coinciding this year.
Native New Yorker, you know that.
I know, we gotta know. I got you this.
Oh, you got me. What is this?
It is your favorite.
Thank you.
Chocolate croissant.
Oh, a chocolate croissant. This looks exactly like the one I got you like 8 minutes ago.
Yeah, that's right.
Before we got on air.
Right.
That's but crazy, man.
It didn't happen on air, so no one knows about it. But I did bring myself a little treat as well.
Ooh, that's a cinnamon.
That you gave me earlier today.
That I bought
today.
You earlier as well. Yeah.
And I just found
it on
the
floor. I know you like the pastries.
Let's get into it. It's, you know, it's the
holidays. I wish you a very two cool moms. I wish you.
Okay. And a very clogged arteries. It's all about eating the holidays anyway.
Oh, my God. You ain't kidding. How was your Thanksgiving?
Fantastic.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What'd you do? Do I have chocolate on my face? I just...
How did you eat that? Because you were wiping your forehead, basically. You want a napkin? I don't have it.
No, do I have it? It looked like I took a shit.
Wait, what do you do when you take... Why would you... Do I have chocolate on my face? The follow-up question was, did it look like I took a shit? What are you doing when you're...
Nobody goes, oh, that's chocolate. You basically go, oh, that's shit.
Mm. I got shit.
Well, I left a pineapple in front of my door. Mm-hmm. So I'm into some crazy shit.
You're into it. What do you do when you were little? Did you open up gifts Christmas Eve or Christmas morning?
Christmas morning. Yeah, you?
Even when you got older?
Oh, yeah.
Were you allowed to do like the one?
We never did. I don't know that we let our kids do the one on Christmas Eve. Do you guys do that?
No, they're still too young.
No, wait.
This whole episode is people going to hear us eating?
It's horrible.
That's going to be terrible.
How was how was it, by the way?
This is fantastic. Thank you for. Good. I'm so glad I bought it for myself.
How was your Thanksgiving, though?
It was good. What'd you do? Yeah. You went to your neighbor's house, right?
Went to my neighbor's house.
I was away. I went on vacation. I went to Aruba. It was nice.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Now, you get a good turkey dinner? Here's the thing.
No.
You do turkey on Thanksgiving, and then but you don't do the... You do the seven fishes, right?
I do the tofurkey. On Christmas, I do the seven fishes. Christmas Eve.
And then Christmas, you guys
light
do?
It up. Yeah.
Turkey again?
Christmas, we normally do a pasta. On Christmas Day, it's normally just like a pasta.
But most people do a turkey on Thanksgiving. And
a holiday
Christmas,
ham.
Right?
Yeah. Holiday ham is a big thing, right?
I think turkey's so overrated.
I'm not a big turkey guy. I was never really a big turkey guy. I did the leg. That was my thing.
The leg?
I love the leg.
My son dusted the leg.
Did
it was one of those like Disneyland legs.
Yep.
It was huge, and he eviscerated it, but it's tough to get a good turkey to get it right. And my Italian neighbors, Pat and Maria, crushed it. They told me they brined it for a few days, and it came
brining. They brined it. I don't even know. What does that mean? What do they do?
The best. It's like you're soaking it, right? You're soaking it in like a salt water.
You soak anything in salt, it's great. I mean, that's how I prepare for bed. I just lay in salt water.
I've had a hard day goofing off.
Let me brine.
And making the funnies. Let me brine myself. Yeah. Mm. I think the turkey is overrated. So I told my wife, and we didn't go to our neighbors, I was like, you know, even Christmas is like, we're going to go. My mom's coming in. She's going to make us Korean food.
Oh, nice.
So just get me galbi, lemon chicken, bulgogi, mandu, kimchi, fried rice.
Oh, kimchi's going to make it for the holidays.
Kimchi's going to...
She's great. How is she?
We're going to hotbox the...
How are the rest of the cheese?
Kimchi, you know her from the Golden Banana?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you ever help your mom cook when you were growing up for like the holidays?
Tried to, but, yeah, but you know, I mean,
she was in charge.
She's unbelievable. She's a really great, really great. Let's not talk about my wife's cooking.
I don't want to.
Yeah,
because
neither do I.
Both know it's shit.
My mom's great. Yeah.
Did you want to, when you did the holidays without your parents, like let's say your mom, you haven't really done that yet though. Have you ever like not have a holiday with your parents?
Oh yeah.
Have to make a dish so that dish was present? Like for us, it's like stuffed mushrooms and my dad's bean salad. Like I make that every year. It's
oh, you do
be
that?
There.
Okay.
Yes.
There's not like a traditional dish
no.
we do, no. But I mean, the holidays away, I remember, I think it was Christmas, Peter Billingsley and I had Morton's Steakhouse together.
Really?
Palm Steakhouse in Beverly Hills. We had a nice gentleman's dinner, just two solo guys left alone in Los Angeles and just said, all right, let's do it up. Yeah.
That was cool.
One of the better meals I've had on the holidays,
on the holidays
to be honest.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Yeah, I always love cooking and I love that whole experience. But I always found like when my sisters got together, we all got together, there was definitely too many chefs in the kitchen because my sisters cook very differently.
Yeah.
Making mom's recipes and different, you know, that kind of way. So it's funny when they see whose sauce is more like mom's, who's like whatever. So it's interesting to see the battle.
What do you contribute in the kitchen?
I do a stuffed mushroom.
Besides being in the way.
No, I'm not. I taste test.
Please. Talk to me.
I do.
You're in the way, right?
I'm in the way. No. I'm loud. I'm
at the
same
level.
I'm very good in the kitchen.
Seriously.
I mean, I'm pretty good.
You're a good chef?
Jiggy's seen me in the kitchen.
Really? He's good?
Yeah, I'm good in the kitchen.
What's your specialty?
I do a lot of the pasta dishes. I'll do a lot. I'm good at like seeing what we have and making something out of it.
How hard is pasta? You boil water and throw it in. It's like 12 minutes.
It sounds like somebody doesn't know how to cook pasta. Because it's all about what else goes in it. You just think I'm throwing a fucking wet noodle on the table and saying, chow down, chubs. What am I doing? I am preparing a dish for you to enjoy.
How hard is it to prepare pasta, though?
Okay, what's next after the pasta's
boil
done?
Boil the water.
Got it.
Salt in
got
it.
Got it. You got a wet noodle.
Olive
now
oil.
Okay.
Yeah, wet
you think olive oil on the spaghetti you think is
no,
good?
No, in the water.
Okay, no, right. Olive oil in the water. Okay,
there
so then
go.
When,
yeah.
after you drain it in the scolabost, okay,
yeah.
and all the water's out, and you put it in the bowl, what happens next?
Rouse tomato sauce.
Oh, a canned sauce?
Rouse is great.
Rouse. Don't stop.
What is it?
It's Rouse. Don't.
Sure.
Don't fuck sure. Rouse?
That's bad.
That is bad, buddy.
How's that?
Rouse?
Please, when we were on the road, you called it Pff Chang's.
Don't try to combat your flub with a terrible joke.
I don't care. It's $10 and I buy it and it's good. It's really good.
You should try Rouse because that's even better than Rouse. Rouse sounds like that's the one that's next to
Rouse
it.
Rouse is great.
It's like a typo on the thing and you get like 15% off.
A good sauce though, right?
I still can't get over the fact
you make your own sauce?
I tried a couple times. I'm not good at it.
So you eat the rat, whatever. You eat it too? Big R?
I do a canned sauce. I'm not afraid of a canned sauce. A jarred sauce. Can't do a canned.
Rouse.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been to the restaurant?
Hmm?
Yeah, I've been to the restaurant. Have you been to the restaurant?
Here's a restaurant? Is that real?
Yeah.
It's like the most famous restaurant in New York.
Real?
Rouse.
Where is it?
By invitation only. You can
shut up.
You have to know somebody to get a table. 1,000%.
It's true.
I can't believe
for real?
You lived in New York and you did not know.
I've never heard of this. No.
Wow.
It's in Spanish.
Oh, I'm sorry. Rouse. You've never heard of it? Are you kidding?
I swear to God.
Holy cow. I've been there twice.
Who invited you?
My friend Mike Baccio's dad has a table or had a way to get in.
How does Mike know?
Mike's father worked in finance for a long time.
Is it posh?
Yeah, it's small.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not big, and it's only a certain amount. And it's like one of those things that they actually like auction off dinners for like the
right.
holidays. Yeah, at like gala events.
I'll just buy the sauce.
The jarred sauce.
Myself, yeah.
You could do that.
You did it for the Friars event.
That's right, for the Friars event.
Is it that good?
It's fantastic. It's an experience too, though. It's just really, really cool. It's like got an old school feel. Sinatra ate there.
It's been around for a while.
Famously, Sinatra ate there. Sinatra ate ravioli there. They call it he has a dish there and named after him.
Is it called Frank's?
No, it's because he ate it. Like, he's like, oh, Frank Sinatra ate this.
Your place in Chicago?
Yeah. Sienna Tavern?
Yeah. I enjoyed it, but I think you had made it seem like this is going to be the greatest dining experience you've ever had in your life.
It was probably one of the best meals I've ever had.
That lunch in Chicago?
No, the dinner we had before that there.
Okay. I wasn't there for that. I was there for the lunch.
Yeah, because the lunch menu was a little different. The dinner menu, we had a lot of pastas. We had did a lot. And he actually was there, and he just brought out everything for us, too. We did a little less ordering. It was like, get have this. You got to have some of this. Mm. We basically had the whole menu the first time we went.
Yeah.
It was great. Okay. Yeah, but you had that puff thing, and you loved it. That puff bread thing.
Yeah. The app?
You blew your balls off over it. Don't play tough guy now because you call it. Because you call it
tough guy.
Yeah.
The app was good.
You have your arms crossed with a fucking ugly sweater on. Who are you kidding?
You, hey, listen.
You're going on the naughty list.
We're bonding over our ugly.
This is very nice. I'm glad you bought these.
Okay, I want to ask you this. Greatest Christmas ever. As a kid, and then greatest Christmas thus far as a parent.
Oh, as a parent. Well, as a kid, we spoke of when I got my Nintendo. I still think that's one of my favorite
memories. Oh, shit.
Memories.
I got a reservation on Open Table to Rouse. I just got it. I didn't even try it.
I know, cool. Because it's Rouse.
It's that easy.
You want to get one at Rayo's.
Not that exclusive.
Yeah. If you want to get one at Rayo's, it's going to be a little different.
I'm going with Kanye and that white supremacist that came back from Mar-a-Lago. The three of us are going. Sorry, well, I'm going to fucking edit this out now.
Merry Christmas and to all a good night. And that's the end of this podcast. That's the end of this one.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Is that hot cocoa?
It's coffee.
Okay.
You want some?
Best Christmas as a child.
As an adult, the child one I spoke of already was when I got the Nintendo. But as an adult for the kids, that's a good question. I think I'm really excited about this year because they're at a really good, like Remo's at the ripe age now to a five. Because I don't feel like they really knew what was going on. Yeah, he's like in the he's in the mix right now, and we nailed it with a couple of gifts. I think he's got some stuff that he
What's
wanted.
What's a big ticket?
He's big into the Spider-Man and Friends. Amazing Spider-Man and Friends.
New?
No, the new like animated series. So they have a really fun big playhouse that we got on him. But he also loves this thing called Number Blocks, which is like this math thing. And it's just an awesome company that does like...
Boring.
Yeah, he's his father's son.
Yeah.
I was a math lead. Would you get Kent a hockey stick? I taught him how to punt. I got him a hockey stick.
I got him a subscription to Cherry and Penthouse like a fucking man.
And I'm gonna go and show him how to punch. I'm gonna walk up and say Merry Christmas and punch him in the dick just to show him how men love each other. Gonna give him a nut tap and say Happy Holidays. It's gotta be hard shot for the daughter now though. She's 11, 10, 11.
Right in between. Doesn't like toys anymore.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, she likes clothes, but she likes soccer, and it's just like, you know, she knows now. The cat's out of the bag.
Yeah.
But Kent,
oh, he's Kent's still there. Under the lid.
Yeah, he's still there.
Oh, he's dumb?
Super pumped.
He's dumb. Because he's old. He should know by now. He's a dumb kid. You have a dumb kid? Oh, it's a shame. Oh, it's all right. It's all right. You gotta live. You gotta live,
though.
Feel
bad for him.
Oh, no. Your boy's dumb. Has he asked?
He only asked because she said something, and then we had to, you know, recalibrate everything and get her on board. Like, don't be selfish. For people, don't be an idiot. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So he's still all in. He's going to do the, you know, that Santa tracker.
Yep.
That's fun. So fun to see.
That's so fun.
The kids lose their mind over that.
Yeah. Does he go to bed early? My dad used to do this thing where he would tap on the back of the wall and pretend the reindeer on the roof. Mm-hmm. So, like, because I was dumb. And he would.
Like, come on,
I'm also now smarter than you now. So,
yeah.
Look how mad you got because I made you tell
it. I was like, come on, man. I'm
sorry, pal.
It's my chance to get. I got to defend myself.
Wait, no, I did fall for it. Okay. So he would bang on the wall and they'd be like, oh, it's time to go to bed. And then I saw him do that one year and it clicked for me. And I was like, oh, shit.
Oh.
Because I was the last to know because I have two older sisters. But they kept the whole farce.
They kept it, yeah.
Yeah, they were great.
The Nintendo was the best gift.
Yeah, for me, for sure. But for the kids, I'm really excited about this one. I feel like Milana. Oh my god, I had to do like a dollhouse one year. We got her like
put it together,
and that was so annoying.
It's the worst.
It's the worst.
The worst is
now. Does Santa take the gifts out of the packaging, or do they have to unwrap the gifts?
Oh, you got to unwrap it. Yeah.
Oh, see, that's different. I grew up that everything was already. This is what my parents did.
So the toys
was
are just
so good.
Like in wrapping paper.
You spend Christmas. No, it's open. It's open and assembled.
Oh, yeah. Like if it's like a kitchen set or something, like I'll put that together.
Gotcha. Because some people just like wrap it and then they spend their whole Christmas morning assembling stuff. That was the best thing my parents did. We didn't open anything. We didn't open anything besides like socks. Like, yeah. That was it. Like, we had one or two things to open, but for the most part, it was just, I think that was the smartest thing because you got to enjoy your Christmas morning.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Good.
Best Christmas movie.
You should really listen to our podcast.
This is a Christmas episode, though.
We've covered
I got new ones.
Oh, you?
Yeah.
Okay, mine's everything all the time, all at once. Yeah, what's this?
I saw the new Christmas Story. Did you see it?
I didn't see it yet.
Oh. All right, let's not talk about it then.
No, tell me about it.
Talk about
it.
No.
You're not going to say that.
Hanukkah.
My favorite Hanukkah?
Yeah.
That's not going to be your favorite Christmas movie, though.
No, but it was
very
really,
enjoyable.
Really good.
I'll tell you, I saw Spirited. Love that. Will Ferrell and, what's his name? Will
Ryan
Ferrell
Reynolds.
And Ron Reynolds. No one.
I haven't heard
it.
Anything about it. You're the first person to talk about it.
I just told you.
Yeah, that's it. You're it. You're the one.
Okay. How'd you like the new Christmas Story?
How'd you like Spirited?
I liked it.
Out of 10.
Eight.
Eight?
Mm-hmm.
Christmas Story Christmas, I give 8.5.
Is that because you know Billingsley?
No. I swear to God, I think, look, that's such an iconic film, mm-hmm. right? It's so good. I'm not going to spoil anything, but they do a good job at taking what made that movie work and implementing it to him at his present age as a father, right?
Yeah.
So he's still daydreaming.
He's dead the whole time, though, right? No spoilers. No spoiler alerts. But he's dead the whole time. He's a ghost of Christmas past. Is that how it is? That'd be actually pretty good.
he's a dad in this mm-hmm. one, and so he's daydreaming as a father.
Yep. So he's seen it through the lens of that. That's really awesome.
It is good, and it carves out its own identity. You know, they're not doing the leg lamp again. They have like brief little nods. They're up in the attic collecting dust. You gotta show it. Yeah. But the it builds and then it definitely pays off.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, maybe a bit of a slow. You're establishing everything.
Yep.
I get it. You got to take your medicine when you're first, you know, recalibrating such an iconic film. But it definitely pays off really well. It's really sweet.
I really like Spirited because I feel like it showed up in a different way than any other holiday movie I saw, and I really liked it. I think you should check it out. Did you like
Nope.
The Greatest Showman.
I throw football with my son, so I
we punch each other in the face and tell each other that no only women cry. I give him noogies.
My son is.
What did your son ask for Christmas? A noogie?
No, great. I respect him. I respect him more as a 7-year-old than I do an adult Joe Gatto.
Mm-hmm. As you should.
Gatto.
Just or to tweak Ray, or Rayow.
Rayow. I didn't know. I've never really heard of that. I can't believe that.
Do you think your son is a cool kid?
Do I think he's a cool
kid?
Do
you like, would you, in his, around, do you think kids his age think he's cool?
I think I've seen him out and about.
Yeah.
Doing his thing.
Right. What's that like for him? Is he?
He's just a sweet kid. He gets along with everybody. He'll play with girls. He'll play with boys. You know, he gets along with everybody, but he's like really outgoing and he loves to laugh.
Okay.
So he's a good kid, yeah. My daughter's a bitch.
That's the age too, though, right?
Yeah.
You said that. But I mean, I love her. A 7-year-old her, though, was she the same way? Would you describe her the same way?
A little more...
Introvert?
I wouldn't say she's introverted by any means. She's definitely outgoing. But Kent's like more of a ham.
Got it.
You know?
Got it.
And he likes to goof off. He loves to play. I mean, you walk into his room... And he's like a 7-year-old John Wick. I mean, the arsenal of weaponry in there. The Nerf guns. We got him a gun rack. He's got sniper, Uzis, automatics. He's got Black Panther claws. He's got a shield. He's got the Iron Man hand. He's got body armor. He's got like everything. So like...
Well, he's got to defend himself from the nut taps you keep giving him.
Or Uncle like, Joey.
He's like Wakanda forever.
Yeah. what about your kids? When you see them in the wild...
My son is a super wallflower.
A little more quiet, you mean?
So quiet. Super wallflower. He's 5, so I think some of it's about his age.
But sometimes that... kids change, though.
Yeah, and he's like to the beat of his own drum.
Yeah.
He'll sit in the corner and just play with, like, you know, little things. Like, he doesn't care what's going on. Like, we'll have play dates at the house. There'll be, like, 20 kids running around. He won't be playing with anybody.
Yeah.
He's doing his own thing.
Can I just get a little piece of advice?
Yeah.
Get him a clarinet. Don't register for sports. That's where this kid's going.
He's going to be banned.
Yeah. Bander?
I mean, I didn't play sports. He bowled. He likes bowling. I don't know if he'll play sports.
Not a sport.
You say that.
Sorry?
But you played hockey.
It's a sport.
Says who? Canadians.
ESPN.
ESPN. Yeah. There's bowling on ESPN. Is that what
on
you're going to go
on? Ocho. Yeah. The only time I know bowling is, who do you think you are? I am. I mean, right. That's Pete Weber.
That's all you need.
Name me the top three bowlers right now.
Pete Weber, Tom Garfunkel, and Simon Franklin.
You're making
all three.
Who is your favorite bowler of all time?
My father, who's dead now.
How are you not an attorney? You're so slippery.
Slippery when what?
No, you're like really good. If you were an attorney, you'd be amazing. You'd have a billboard in Vegas.
I just have quick wheat. I'm quick wheated.
You are.
So.
All right. Well, happy holidays, buddy.
Thank you, pal. Happy holidays to you.
Let's spread some holiday cheer.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's go on and help these people.
They need us.
This is going to be our gift to America and beyond.
So this might be applicable
to
someone during the holidays, and you can relate to this one in particular. Hey, guys, first off, want to say Discover Jokers during the pandemic, and now I've seen every episode multiple times and listened to all your podcasts, especially Two Cool Moms. Now, I quit drinking alcohol 3.5 years ago. Luckily, being in lockdown for half of the time has helped me with my situation. Joe, as someone that doesn't drink, how do you deal with hanging out with drunk friends? The early part of the evening is easier, not without anxiety as I'm socially anxious, but after the drinks get flowing, it's hard to A, deal with drunk friends, B, deal with the fact of how bad of a drunk I was. Thanks in advance. Love the pod. Chris.
I never had to deal with B.
Yep.
So for A, I would just say it's you need to know your own threshold. I mean, I can hang around with drunk people and have a good time. I don't mind drunk people. I mind people that are doing their own thing. You know, it never made me uncomfortable being around people that were drinking, you know, experimenting with drugs or doing whatever. Like, it never made really uncomfortable because I would always just be my own person with it.
Right.
I never had to come through the lens of, which I think is a different lens to be like, oh, was I like that? You know what I mean? So that's a little different for me.
Yeah.
But I think what you could do is just, when your night's over, your night's over. Go home. You know, don't force yourself to stay out. If you stop having fun, go home. Like, there's been nights, some nights I would only be able to get to 1 o'clock. There's other nights I closed the place with everybody at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the guy I know.
I think, yeah. I've done more 4 a.m.s than I have done 1 a.m.s because I'm just kind of like my son to the beat of my own drum, just in the corner dancing with a wall. I don't care.
Right.
I mean, Usher's on. Yeah. Yeah. Boop, 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 boop. I'm just, you know, I'm doing, you know, I'm doing it. So, I'm at the window and the wall. I think you really just have to know. Look, you have to be your own party. Mm-hmm. You're there to have a good time. If you're having a good time with your friends, and certain friends are getting too drunk that you're not having fun with them anymore, are there still friends that you could have fun with and hang out? Yeah. If not, night's over. Go home.
By the way, if they're smashed, they're not even going to know.
They're not.
Until tomorrow they go, oh, yeah, where'd you go?
Yep.
So you shouldn't be concerned about that. But I think, to your point, like, whenever I've gone, I'll never forget the first time I talked to you. I was like, you telling me you didn't drink was like the end of the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Like, wait, you're the wizard? Like, what? This is crazy. I couldn't believe it. But yeah, I think, you know, you're an example of, like, you don't need booze to have fun.
I've also had people, like, to your point where you just said, oh, nobody's gonna know you left. People would be like, would go to me, dude, where did you go? I'd be like, dude, I drove you home. Like, oh yeah, that's right. Like, people don't remember.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
So people don't remember you leaving or staying. It doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, when did you go? I'm like, I literally put you in your hotel room.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
But you, I mean, we have discussed, but I'm still, like, fascinated because you, like, all the things I do wrong, you avoid. Like, I eat like garbage, and you eat pretty healthy. I mean, you're,
for the most part, yeah. My desserts are my
Achilles. The desserts, and you don't get one. You got to try a little bit of everything, which is very difficult to be around.
Or then, fun.
Very fun at the time.
Difficult after.
But when you're taking your shirt off, getting ready for bed, and you start smacking yourself like this, it's like, that's when it's just like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Joe Gatto. But the booze, that's just something you never
to deal with, yeah.
You just never.
Yeah, never deal with any of it. The repercussions of a hangover.
Right.
Or the caloric intakes, the weight, or anything that come with it.
But I'm surprised, like, you never dabbled with a nice glass of wine.
Yeah,
with,
most,
like,
people say
dinner.
That. Yeah, wine.
That would be the invitation to alcohol that I could understand.
Because that's more of part of a meal dining experience as opposed to let's go out and have a drink and get rowdy.
Or like champagne, that's a special occasion.
Well, I've had a sip of champagne at like a toast and whatnot.
Like a soper. Like they've the non.
Oh no, yeah, they have Manischewitz.
What's that?
It's the Jewish champagne. A sparkling cider.
Come on. Are you
sparkling cider, right, Manischewitz? Isn't Manischewitz a sparkling cider?
It's a thing. I don't think that's what it is.
So what is this?
The fake champagne is like a sparkling apple cider. It's not.
Oh, so it's like a clean.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but we used to have it on New Year's. The kids would drink the sparkling cider, and everybody else would have the champagne.
Sparkling cider. Yeah.
It's the name of a company.
Manischewitz.
Yeah.
Is that Jewish?
What is it?
It's a brand of kosher based.
Oh yeah.
Wine.
Oh, it's a wine. That's right. Manischewitz is a kosher wine. Okay. Yeah, I was mistaken. But an apple sparkling cider. Yeah. We used to do that all the time, sparkling ciders. We actually did that. That translated to Bessie and her family because they don't partake in alcohol either. For the holidays, that's what they would drink at dinner. That would be their version. It's like, oh, let's get the sparkling cider.
Oh, okay.
And they have that during like Christmas dinner. During the holiday.
Okay.
Yeah. No, she does. She does. It's her parents.
Oh.
Didn't. Man, she's wasted all the time. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. Well, good luck to you, buddy, and power through the holidays.
I would say good luck, and hang tough, pal.
Okay, this is the
one. And don't be hard on yourself. That's the way you used to be. Focus on the way you are now.
Hi, mommies. This is coming to us from Shauna. I just adopted a puppy. It's been a while since I had a puppy. It's been 15 years.
Mm.
My husband and I are crate training her since I teach during the day, and he works some nights, and we don't want a puppy left unattended during the day. When we put her in the crate, she cries to the point where my neighbors think we are murdering our puppy. Does it get easier? And what pointers can you offer to help her and us? Now, you have a lot more experience with this stuff than I do. I don't, never had a dog. But crate training, I assume that's...
You cover the crate with,
oh,
a, blanket,
you cover it?
With a blanket, yeah, at so, night.
It keeps, oh, at
it,
night?
It keeps, and it gets them used to being in there a little bit. It feels a little bit more...
You're kind of forcing it to sleep.
Yeah, kind of deal. It's kind of like a parrot in a cage. But for the crate training, we didn't really crate train many. We housebroke them in a different way. We didn't really go down the crate training route. We did with a couple of them, and we were lucky that they weren't criers. A lot of my dogs aren't criers. But if you have a crier, like that's a crier, that dog's going to cry. Just like I have a barker, the dog's going to bark. So it's going to be interesting. Yeah, and you're not home to reprimand it or reassure it or anything. So... I think you're probably going to try to figure out a way to either get somebody off like care.com that could come and sit with the dog for a second or just take them out of the crate for a little bit to play with them. That's an easy way to do it. You get somebody on an hourly rate at care.com or, any sort of like website.
So what, somebody comes and just hangs with the dog?
Puts the dog out for a little bit, walks them, gives them a treat. Yeah, it could be a dog walker. Yeah. You could do any of that kind of stuff. That's probably the first thing that comes to mind is get somebody to come visit with the dog for a little bit during the day, even if it's, gets them out of the crate for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It might be enough to get him out, get him running around. Puppies have a lot of energy, too, so the puppy might be...
You don't want to keep a puppy in a crate all day while you're gone at work and then...
Yeah, and then at nights, that doesn't sound like a great situation for the puppy. The puppy's got a lot of energy. It's probably crying because it's got a lot of energy. It's either going to cry because it's scared, because it's alone, or because it can't do what it wants to do, which is run around like crazy.
It wants attention.
Yeah.
Too, yeah.
Yeah. So I would say that. Did you cry when Jess was crate training you? And about you in the crate. Would you cry a lot?
When I fly from Nashville to LaGuardia, that's usually when I cry the most, yes.
Underneath?
Yeah. I'm in the crate, in the cold, checked. With all the luggage. Checked. Yeah, just you're shivering.
I will say our joke is one of my favorite ones that we ever did was, it confused people so much, and it was so fun, was they got like a Great Dane crate, and they put me in the, and we were working at pet stores.
Yeah.
And I had the shirt on that I was working there, and I ended up in the crate with it locked. And I was like, could you help me to people inside? And they were like, well, I was like, I locked myself in here by accident. And this woman believed me that I accidentally locked myself in a crate. Yeah. It was unbelievable. It was one of the funniest ones I ever had.
Has there been a moment in time where like anything that's come through where you're like, oh, this could be a good little challenge or dare? Like, has that just shut off from the brain? Are you removed
that's pretty shut off. Or I could have been like, a lot of it is like, oh, I've done something like that before because now I'm just doing it for fun.
Right, right, yeah.
Right. You know, yeah. I'm just in it for fun. It's like that. I'll just do some stuff and I'll be like, oh, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember when I did that on camera and stuff like that. But it's not like my brain never really worked. It did. That's not true, actually. It did work. It was like, oh, that's great. But more of it was when we were hanging out and somebody would say something.
Right.
You'd make a note. So I was like, oh my God, I can't stand that. You're like, okay, you can't stand that, you know, dummy. You know, like, okay. Text him 3 years later, he's stuck in a room full of it, you know.
My God, it was that methodical, huh?
Yeah, sure, for sure. Yeah, if anybody mentioned anything, I mean, you don't miss a beat. I will say two ways that my life has been affected by the show, which are insane, is that I can, when I directed your special,
yeah.
I could watch a multicam as if I'm watching one TV. I could watch multiple mini screens all together on the same screen and not miss a beat. I could see because I watched for 7 years, right, 8 years. I watched BTS of up to 20 cameras, sure, all the time. You know, the other thing was I could have multiple hear and follow multiple conversations at once. So if I'm sitting in a plate, right? Because if I'm sitting with you and having lunch and we're talking, and somebody's talking next to us, I'm following both conversations at the same time.
That is
no
crazy.
Problem. It's weird. Like you really got like it's imprinted.
You develop a skill.
A skill.
That's
crazy.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I would need to just focus on one or the other. There's no way I could do that.
Yeah, I mean, but think about it. I mean, I did it over 300 episodes with at least 4 to 5 times an episode. So how many times did I do that? And how many hours? Sure. And how many hours did I do it that wasn't on camera? You know, it didn't end up making the cut. I did it for hours on hours on hours for years.
That is crazy.
Yeah. It's not.
Well, all right. Well, there we go. Let's go to, I don't know how to say this. But, it's Sai. Namaste, cool moms. This is Sai from Goa, India.
Oh, Goa.
Yeah, G-O-A.
Gao. It's Gao's.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, yeah. There we go. Could you please give me some advice on how to keep my composure while driving, especially when there's so many reckless drivers around? Thanks and much love to you both. I love how you're pointing at me.
I mean, the last one was for me. This one is for you. How do you do it, Steve? Because you're so good at it.
That
was an eye roll. If you guys can hear it on the camera, I did a. Give it a sound effect for me. Ready? So how do you do it, Steve?
So you haven't experienced road rage at all?
Don't answer the question.
I'm just asking.
No, you're deflecting.
I'm not deflecting.
Think you have road rage?
I'm just asking. There are times I do, for sure, absolutely. But as I've gotten older, I certainly don't. I don't act the way.
Have you ever chased anybody down?
Oh yeah, when I was younger, for sure.
Oh yeah.
There was one time I in L.A. I chased an off-duty cop off the ramp, and he got out of the car and showed me his badge, and I was like, I don't give a shit. Like, what you did is completely inappropriate. He was just weaving like that, and I just thought it was really dangerous. So then there's the old adage. Well, what if that person has a gun? Like Denise Richards got shot at, right? Which is you should think about that. But it was maybe a few years ago, right? Mm. A year or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was with Jess and the kids.
Oh.
We had something where somebody just zoom like that, and I just kind of sped up, and then Jess starts crying in the car. And I'm like, what? She's like, do you realize like how stupid this is, how dangerous this is? Are you thinking about the ramifications of what potentially could happen? There's two children in the backseat, you moron. And just sitting there, and that was like one of those pivotal conversations.
Yeah. Yep. That realigns a mindset.
Partner that grounds you, and you go, okay, yeah, that's pretty bad. And sometimes you just need a splash of cold water on the face.
Said the same thing to you when we were driving in Peoria, and you said, stop being a pussy, and gave me a nut punch.
Oh, shut up. Shut up.
I've never done a road rage thing. I have lost my shit a couple times, but not really. I'm not really a road rage thing. I never really chased anybody down. But in high school, we used to go to this club called Malibu in Long Island.
I love this.
So me and the boys from Staten Island would pop into my turquoise Saturn.
High tops.
Oh, nice. We would pop into my turquoise Saturn, and I would drive out to Long Island.
Yeah.
And we would come back. And we were coming back, and these kids cut us off or whatever. And my guys goaded me as I was driving. They're like, let's get them. Like, you know, follow them. And we threw on protect your neck, watch your step, kid. Watch your step, kid, from Wu-Tang, and we fucking blast and put down the window, and we just chase these kids.
Really?
And they ended up, this must have been just when cell phones were happening. So it was, I was like just in college, I think I was a freshman in college. It might have been like just when cell phones were happening. And these people, they rolled up to a house by my high school.
Yeah.
And these kids, like three kids came out of the house with baseball bats.
Called their friends
and they came Get running. Ready. So they parked in front of the house and we just slowed down and then they ran out after my car and then I jumped in the car and then the chaser became the chasee and they started gunning after us.
Oh shit.
And I did a
then
full
Then you guys
blow.
Play air supply.
Then I full blow, yeah.
On the way home, yeah.
Running home. So we were, so we started running and I remember I didn't know what to do. I just blacked out. I was like Mario Andretti in this shit, and I was chasing them. They were fast, and we were going really fast by my school. And I went the wrong way down a one-way, killed the lights, and parked in somebody's driveway. And they we saw them slow roll past us.
Well, nobody knows a good gamble like Joe Gatto.
That's it. Yeah, it was.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, it's not. It's never worth it, right?
Never.
Never worth it. And I think.
What are you gonna do to catch them? Flip them off. That always feels good. You know, you do the stare though, right? When somebody messes up, you drive by them, you fucking.
Oh, I'll give a
gleam
stare.
Them at the red light. I can't wait when the red light. You inch up as much as you can to make sure you see them in the window.
Yeah.
They start inching. You start inching. You make sure they see you. Oh, that's the best feeling. When it's like.
Owen Benjamin had a great observation. Wouldn't give the finger. He wouldn't yell obscenities. He would just go like this.
Oh, thumbs down.
He would give you a thumbs down.
Yeah, that's great. That's
he said it's very effective. He said you'd be very shocked. It's you're letting somebody know you're so disappointed in them. You give them a thumbs down. He's like, it works.
Good job.
Yeah, so I don't know. Give the thumbs down and don't worry. Don't go crazy. Okay. This is for Amanda. So I thought you could offer some good advice on this one, okay?
Here we go.
Hi, mamas. Love you guys so much. I just lost two of my childhood cats in less than a week. Rover was 15, Fletcher was 12. They both lived a great life, but I'm glad they aren't suffering anymore. It's just really sad. I don't know how to feel about this. How have you coped with losing a pet? Can't wait to see you in Binghamton for my birthday.
Ah, Bing. That's like next week. It's like 3 days. You're going to be in Binghamton, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wilkes-Barre, Binghamton, and then Porchester, and then you go on with your life, and I keep going.
I'm going to be selling cats at the merch stand.
Yeah, again, yeah, so it's perfect.
Amanda's interested, yeah.
It's perfect. I'm going to actually be selling cats' ashes in case, you know, which way you want to flip it. I'm doing
Joe Gatto's kitty crematorium.
How are you?
Pretty good.
Good time. We have lollipops. She answered her own question at the beginning. Like she said, she had a great time with them. She celebrated their life. For me, it's always a celebration of life. How good were their life compared to the dead? Because we deal with a lot of dogs dying, but we get them old. I haven't had a situation yet where one of my young dogs died.
Right.
Meaning where I got a dog that was younger, two years old, and then I took it through to 15, 16.
Sure.
All my dogs that have died, we do this thing where we keep the collar of the dogs that died.
Jesus,
and we hang them on the Christmas tree, on the back of the tree. As like a little salute, like you can't be here, but you're here in spirit.
Right.
Dogs of Christmas past.
So you have a 12-foot tree this year?
It's rough.
Come on. Dude, don't.
They're barking up the right tree. So we had, we put it together like a garland this year because we had 20 collars, 2-0.
Oh my God,
so we've helped and buried 20 dogs.
Are you burying, like, is there a doggy cemetery?
No,
like,
we do a group crematorium. No, we just come to the vet and they take care of them. But we do like, at this point, there's 28 Gatto pups and there's 20 collars. So we've helped 48 dogs through Gatto pups and friends, which is great.
Oh my God.
But now, I'm like, do we make like a garland? Do we make it go around? Because next year we're going to probably have another, 15 to 20 because we always get the old ones and we just came the last couple months, So... when we put the garland, I was like, we got to make a garland. Like they should have their own tree. And then we'll get like a bunch of like paw print, things. Yeah. And I think it'd be a cute way to do it. But then I was like, but is that a little too morbid? And my son, it fell off the tree because it was too heavy.
Yeah.
And Remo goes, Dad, the dead dog loop fell. He doesn't know garland. Sure. The dead dog loop.
Yeah, that's great. So. But look, I've been your home. I've seen all the dogs. When you lose one, it doesn't make it any easier, even though you've experienced loss you know, what did you say, 20?
20 times. 20, yeah, 20 if you count my parents, that's 22.
Oh, man.
Jesus. 22 losses. Yeah, my two parents, my father, and then my mother, who I watched the light go out of his eyes in the back of an ambulance. And my mother, who I heard flatline. those, if you count those two, it's 22.
Right.
Happy holidays.
Where's their tree?
They're buried.
You have all this shit for the dogs.
Yeah, right.
Nothing for your
parents.
I
should have left my mom's necklace or something.
My God. Mm. Do you get emotional with the dogs when they pass?
Some of them, yeah. Some of them are, because a lot of them is just like they're super cute and you wish you got to get them a little longer, you know.
Right.
But for the most part, some of them, if they're sick, you feel better. You're like, oh, okay, they're in a better place.
Sure.
Yeah.
What if they're like really sick and they're like pissing and pooping and shitting all over the place? I mean, just like,
that's a lot.
You still let them? Yeah. You still let them in the house?
Yeah. We have doggy diapers and stuff. Yeah, you take care of them. It's all quality of life, though. If they start falling apart, like, and we just look at it, and it's like, okay, we talk to the vet, and we're like, he's like, well, we could do this surgery, blah, blah, blah. And we're like, can we do the surgery? Will it survive the surgery?
Sure.
How much is it getting? Are we going to put it through the surgery? That kind of thing. So,
right.
And our vet is really awesome, and he'll have honest conversations with us.
Right.
A lot of the time, you know, we've had some where we should have lost them. Like, there's two or three that we had that were like, well, this thing's on its last leg, and they're thriving at the house. It's crazy. They just get in the right house. They get around the dogs, and
right.
They grow their hair back. They start pep to their step. It's funny.
And for the most part, do they all get along?
Yeah. There's two or three dicks, two or three little ones.
Literally,
little Mocha is a little angry. One of them, Mocha is just like a little angry dog. Doesn't like being around other dogs. When it gets into cornered, it starts yapping, but doesn't have teeth, so it can't bite or hurt anybody.
Oh yeah.
One of them is blind and gets scared. The other one. What do you call it? Gelato gets scared and is blind. So if somebody knocks into him, he just barks and bites. And then if he bumps into the wrong one, they'll just start at each other. And right. Those are the only two that are real.
Do the other dogs sense that one's blind and they kind of
They guide him around.
Help it?
Yeah, for
really?
Sure. Yeah, they'll guide him around. They've shown where the water is.
Yeah.
Well, then they all just pass. And you just celebrate their life. Like, you give as much time as you can. I think about that as with death as pets and people. You know, just celebrate the moments they're here.
Well, good advice. Once again, this is coming to us from Frankie. Hi, mommies. I love the podcast and listen all the time, especially when the car ride needs a little life and laughter injected.
Oh, nice.
I need your advice. I just finished a couple of scripts.
Ooh.
And now what? How do I get representation and or them made? Thank you, mommies, for all you do.
Here's the movie guy right here.
I don't know about that. I mean, look,
you've made two movies.
We're both in the same boat.
No, you've made two films.
Well, I mean,
I've made one film.
Your film has made more than both my films combined, including my salary, and probably the two producers' salary that everybody knows. So yeah, your film did very well.
I would say with scripts is try to get in the hands of as many people as you can.
Yeah,
I think it's a quantity game. It's you got to get it on as many desks as you can. And is it good?
I agree with you. I think you got to carpet bomb.
Yeah,
as much as you can. All you need is one yes. But
there's going to be a lot of no's before that. Yes,
be a ton of no's. Yeah. And there's probably going to be two or three rounds of no's, to be honest with you, before you even get a yes. I mean, there's countless stories. I was just talking to a friend of mine the other day who. I forget the guy's name who acquired the film rights to Batman in the 70s. And in the 70s, he was going around every major studio. Let's do Batman. Let's do a serious Batman. Let's do a serious Batman. An executive eventually went up to him and said, you got to stop. You're like embarrassing yourself. You're becoming a laughing stop and everybody's laughing at you.
Oh my goodness.
So throw in the towel, move on, find something else.
Nobody knows what they're talking about.
1989 happens and this guy... You think about every single Batman property since 89, he's gotten a cut of it, a major cut, and he's incredibly rich. And now he's the one that kind of established the new blueprint for all these superhero films. You could say Marvel, Iron Man, but it all goes back to 89 Batman, establishing like credibility behind that. So,
wow.
Again, I think it's also a lesson in perseverance. And I also think that, and I've had multiple discussions with my comic friends about this, but so much in terms of representation, they are reactive. They are not proactive. Mm-hmm. You've got to be your biggest cheerleader. You got to be your biggest fan and proponent. And I would tell you that literally everything I've ever done in my career that's ended up on my resume that stood out, it's because I just didn't quit.
Yep.
Yep, just perseverance.
Sure. You sure? So. You got to be. You're your biggest cheerleader.
Yeah, you
gotta get out there. You got to get behind you. You got to push it, and you got to talk to everybody about it.
Yeah,
you have to. You have to be that annoying person that's saying we should do something with Batman. You have to be. You have to be that person because nobody cares. There's another story. There's so many people like you pushing their stories out. You have to be loud and try to get it done.
It's a bad idea until it isn't.
Yeah.
You know, Batman, nobody was making those. And then he makes it now. There's this flood of, I remember horror films where no one would make a horror film. It was all rom-coms and hard R's. And now it's the complete opposite. Now 100%. It's all horror.
Good luck trying to get a hard R made.
Tentpoles. Yeah.
Impossible.
Hard R comedies. But it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to do it. And then Hollywood's going to go back into the fold. And there's a bank, a surplus of incredibly great R-rated scripts written.
Like the one I wrote. It'll get made. I won't let it not get made. It's a
you
great
will
script.
Heist the Heist.
Heist the Heist. It's a great movie.
An incredible concept.
It'll be made.
I mean, you tell that in two or three sentences. It's one of the strongest synopses I've heard in a long time.
It'll get made. I'm going to tell everybody about it.
Yeah. We're putting it out there.
There it is. That's
all good. Right. Well.
Well, Merry Christmas, buddy.
Merry Christmas.
I love you.
Love you too, bud.
You're the best. And thank you for
You're
my shirt.
Bestest.
And thank you for my shirt. And thank you for my treats.
Yeah. Good news is those dogs won't die.
That's it.
They're just always there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could just burn the shirt. Thanks, everybody, and to all, a good night.
These two cool mommies love you, so show us some love.
Please rate us, review us, follow us on all social media, and subscribe to our YouTube.